Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Our next guest to the show is a dear friend of the show, was with us early on when we were first getting the things moving, like right back in the beginning when Jeff and I were first starting. It's been probably more than a decade that we've been talking to him. Always enjoy my conversations with Jason LaCanfora, and we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, the host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Oh, this phone call is going to be delicious. Hello, Jason. How are you, my friend? Long time no talk.
What's going on, gentlemen? How's everybody doing?
The game was
delicious last night. I mean, until the end for you guys, but I mean,
it's Cleveland, my friend.
For new observers, what more could you ask for?
I thought it was. That's what I was trying to put myself in the neutral seat on that. I'm like, man, if I'm watching anywhere across the country and I'm ESPN, I'm happy that I had the Browns on last night because they did give us an entertaining game. What did you think of the game overall?
I mean, it was an offensive tour de force. I mean, Bo Nix obviously is in great hands with Sean Payton, and they're on to something there. The kid has some deep ball accuracy. That's plus. He clearly has stones. He's being coached up the right way. They're on an upward trajectory there, and that Browns defense, even though it wasn't as good on the road last year as at home, just overall, obviously, it's leaving a fair amount to be desired this year. Jameis is Jameis. I mean, it's going to be an incredible ride. Hold on tight. It's going to be bare knuckles. There's going to be highs and lows all within the same quarters, let alone the same game. It's not out of, you know, like, it's what, nothing is normal about the way he plays, but it is normal to him. And the fact that it ended the way it did, if you watched him play at all, that shouldn't surprise you. I would just say that you now, two straight years, have seen guys kind of come in off the carpet whose careers were basically close to left for dead and energize this franchise and bring the sidelines to life and bring the huddle to life and bring the tight ends to life and bring the wide receivers to life and create a different energy. And they've done it with two different personalities, two completely different leadership styles. They both now want to push the ball downfield, play action. They want to take deep shots. They're not worried about interceptions. They'll shake them off. So they've got some similarities. But as human beings, they are, and as leaders, they are so different. And to have seen two guys in the latter stages of their careers do this two straight years, you'd have to be a real fraud to try to run it back with Deshaun Watson. Okay, you want to write off last year as a quirk or a coinkydink, or that was just endemic to Flacco and that was a particular moment in time. Like, it's happening again with a guy who's got a totally different demeanor and makeup, a guy who's much more vocal, and the results are eerily similar. If this isn't enough to convince them to just make a Bobby Bonilla deal and get that guy out of your building for good, then they're bigger fools than I thought they are. And trust me, I think they're really, 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 really big fools to begin with.
We've never heard you say that about the Browns on this show, ever, over the last decade, Jason.
It's not the Browns, it's the Haslam family.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, the Browns are inhabited through their beings. I mean, it's the Browns could be a great franchise. And this whole thing wasn't driven by football people. It wasn't driven by even the Dee Podestas of the world or whatever. Maybe is he considered a football guy now? I don't know. Like, it wasn't analytics driven. It wasn't metrics driven. It was driven by one guy's bloodlust and greed. He thought this would be an easy solution to turning it around, and he got fixated on this guy, and he thought that would help him get a stadium. And I mean, they had pots of gold in their eyes, but it's backfired on them pretty damn good.
All right, so Jace, let me bring up this quote from the Washington Post from you. You were talking about Mike Vrabel was the subject, right? And he's been a huge subject here, obviously, because he's been on the sidelines. He's from Northeast Ohio. Yeah. And it's also big at Ohio State, too, right now, because the Ryan Day situation is interesting, too. But, yeah. So you were basically talking about Vrabel, but then you said he's incredibly well-positioned now, and he's working as a consultant with the Browns, who probably would pursue him if Kevin Stefanski is let go. Then you said in parentheses, some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think he would be cool getting out of that cesspool now, being home for the holidays, and getting to prepare for future interviews elsewhere. Okay, help me with that. Just give me a little bit more on that. Do you think Kevin's like ready to go? Do you think that he's going to be in a position to leave at the end of this year? Because everything that we're kind of hearing is that he's here. And when we see games like last night, and we see what the offense looks like there, we see what Joe Flacco was able to do, it's hard to point the finger at Kevin Stefanski.
No, it shouldn't be Stefanski, but if you're Kevin Stefanski and you've got representation and they look at the field of guys out there and they say there's going to be 8 or 9 of these openings again and I can't come up with 5 or 6 qualified guys, and if they're going to make you try to prop up their fraud of a quarterback again next year, you know what I mean? Like, if that's what this is, if they're going to turn a blind eye to what you've done when you've had even the what's left of former starting quarterbacks and what the offense can look like. And now we've seen it under 2 different play callers, I guess 3 if you want to count Stefanski doing it for a while this year and then not. Like, if this just becomes it's Deshaun Watson because the owners have made their bed with him, then are you better off getting your marching orders now and letting somebody else handle that debacle after you've had to wear it for a couple of years and recharging your batteries and seeing what else is out there? Now, you're right. The offense the last few weeks has come to life to a way that, like, they would open themselves up to even more scrutiny if they let him go. And I don't think they're going to do that now. But have you not had the Jameis Winston awakening and you're Kevin Stefanski or you're one of Kevin Stefanski's coaching buddies out there and you're texting each other and you're talking, I mean, there are people telling him, bro, the grass is greener. Like they say, the grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener pretty much anywhere else. And if you've got to keep being the guy to talk about this quarterback 5 days a week and explain all their BS away, and you think they might whack you anyway, like, trust me, you will have options and you will be in a place that's much more stable and tenable than this.
Do you think he's called Kyle Shanahan for that PowerPoint presentation to get out of his contract?
I don't think you'd probably have to call Bob Lamont. I don't think that's happening again. And even then, I mean, that was even weird because it wasn't a head coach. I mean, it was like for right. A lateral move at the time. There was a lot going on in that building back then.
Jason.
I don't know, guys. It really is it's a shame that it, like, they're like a third world organization. Like they're a third world franchise, and they really shouldn't be.
So when you call the Browns then the organization a cesspool, sort of the situation, do you solely tie that to Deshaun Watson, or would you put more into that camp?
I mean, you've seen what they can do with a capable quarterback. Like, it's not even just the performance of the offense. It's the overall, like, do you think Jerry Jeudy sprints back 60 yards last night like that if this is still the moping around lethargic BS that they put up with the other quarterback? Like,
probably not.
I'm old enough to remember people complaining about the offensive line. Like, I mean, I know they maybe have gotten a little bit healthier, But haven't they still just been kind of swapping bodies around and gutting it out week to week?
Yeah.
Right? But all of a sudden with this guy, it's totally different. Like, you can't just, no, it's not just the quarterback. He's the highest paid player in the history of the franchise who got a deal that nobody else in the history of the NFL has been able to get. And, like, everybody else has to actually deal with the garbage that comes from him in that role. Like, they've got to deal with it when they meet the media. They got to deal with it when they go out with a beer for their friends. And what is that a-hole really like? And is he really elite? Like, it trickles down into everything. And it literally, you can see it in their effort. You can see it in their energy. Like, so a quarterback, I mean, I don't know. Will they be willing to admit defeat? Like, if not, it's way deeper than a quarterback. Like, look at the defense, and I know they got carved up in instances last night. And but, like, I think it would have fallen completely off a cliff if they had to watch this other guy pretend that he actually wanted to play football for a living for $60 million a year. Like, and then yes, there is also the whole, like, who really is in charge and the De Podesta thing going on forever. And, like, it's just there's always palace intrigue there, right? I mean, and it's just what the Haslams have been as stewards of the franchise. They've been failures. So, I mean, if you want to relitigate, like, 10 years of their ownership, we can. If I'm missing something, please inform me. I've been willing at times to say maybe this is rock bottom. And they always, you know what? They can always go lower. How's the stadium thing playing out? How's that going?
You know, it's not, for me, it's not about football. It's about having a venue that they can do more than 15 events in it. But we'll talk about that another, because I want to remind everyone, we're talking to Jason Lockamp for Insider Calls are brought to you. He's an Odyssey Insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Deliciousness and creamy flavor also to these extremely hot hot things that Jason Lockett for is saying. So how do they get out of the Deshaun Watson deal? And would you have respect for the organization if they can get out of the Deshaun Watson deal, or they have Deshaun sit next season? How do they get out of this?
Respect. I don't know about respect's got to be earned. I mean, buying a guy out, not going to earn my respect. You just do it. I mean, it's a Bobby Bonilla situation. I mean, you, hey, this is what we owe you. You're not going to be our quarterback anymore. We understand we're on the hook for this. Let's try this payment plan. Let's try that payment plan. Like, you know what I mean? Go knock yourself out. If somebody else wants to sign you, like, I don't care about offsets. I don't care about minutiae of the contract language. Like, let's tear that up. Let's come up with a new contract that basically is a global holistic thing, and everything we owe you and over which period of time, and we'll pay you when, and you go off. And if you still think you're an NFL quarterback, you got 29 other chances to find out. You know, you got 29 other places to go. But, like, if they did that, would I have respect for them? No, I mean, they would start to respect themselves. Like, that would be them showing a modicum of respect for their fan base. That would be them showing a modicum of respect for their sponsors. That would be them showing a modicum of respect, really, for their other, their partners in this monopoly. Where they you know, there's lawsuits and stuff stemming out of that contract. And look, they are colluding, and there should be more guaranteed contracts. And it's a joke that there's not. But, like, their other business partners are sitting there saying, like, how is this going to play out? What are you going to do with this? We'd love to get this contract off the books and done so that we can say it's a total outlier, because clearly he's not worth what you're paying him. And you could find guys for $1 million or $2 million or $3 million a year to do the same thing or better. So, I mean, it's about them having respect for the people who they keep asking to fund their buy their beers and buy their T-shirts and buy their jerseys and fill their stands and build them a new stadium. How about the respect they should have for their community?
And then, I guess,
guy out of town.
pushing off of then Deshaun Watson and going on to the next quarterback in Cleveland. Watching the game last night, Jameis Winston almost throws for 500 yards, also throws two pick sixes and a third interception on top of it. I mean, does that push you towards him being sort of the answer, at least as a bridge quarterback, or that the Browns maybe need to look into the draft or elsewhere?
I mean, I think that's a hard way to go, especially in this division where, you know, Baltimore usually can play defense. It looks like they can play defense again now that they've fixed a few things. Pittsburgh can always play defense. I think, I mean, you're as Jameis, like, again, in the AFC, Like, is Jameis Winston going to beat Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes in consecutive weeks? Like, if you think so, and I mean, look, you might catch lightning in a bottle, and you're getting the four touchdown passes and only one interception. But, like, that's what they're up against. So at this stage of his career, is he? Like, it's ridiculous he hasn't been a starter elsewhere. Like, I think it's ridiculous that people like Drew Locke are getting opportunities that he didn't, you know, that he maybe didn't get or what have you. Like, I think he can start for you. Could he be a bridge guy for a year while you break in the new quarterback? Yeah, but is he going to hold up over 17 weeks? And how low will the lows get? And, like, I think he's the perfect guy to have around that other quarterback. He's seen it all and done it all, and he's made his share of mistakes. And he's clearly a willing mentor, and he's into the whole team aspect and connecting with his teammates. But is he the long? Is he the answer? Like, are they going to win multiple playoff games with Jameis Winston as their quarterback? I mean, it's a tough needle to thread because you don't get all that good without, you know, having some of that in there that also leads to the really, really bad.
Jace, Browns have the Steelers this week. They're in first place. I know you've got a keen eye on the AFC North. Are you shocked that the Steelers have been able to do what they were able to do? Because when I walked into the season, I thought, well, this is Baltimore. This is going to be Baltimore. But Pittsburgh's really impressed a lot of people this year. And, you know, he's made some tough decisions, Mike Tomlin has, and they paid off. They really have.
I'm not shocked, no. I mean, I dabbled a little bit on, like, Pittsburgh plus 430 to win the division. Like, I thought it could happen. I didn't think it was the most likely scenario. I didn't think it would be easy. And I thought it would kind of be dependent on, like, who are the Cincinnati Bengals, you know? And if they fix their defense, then I think Pittsburgh's going to have trouble with those two. Now, if they haven't, then that's a different story, and it turns out that they have it, not even close. And I wondered about the quarterback thing, but it turns out Mike Tomlin's going to win at least four games with two different quarterbacks.
What's he going to do with George Pickens? That was the other question I was going to ask before we go.
They've got great special teams. They've got a really strong defense. And the offense, since Russell Wilson took over, if you look at EPA and you look at some of the advanced metrics, they're at least, you know, league average, which if you're okay, really good in the other two categories, you could be okay in one of them and still find a way to win a playoff game or two. Yeah, I mean, they just don't beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over. They don't commit a lot of penalties. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat, by and large. And even the Cleveland one was kind of weird, short week. He never wins those short week road games in the division. Snow and everything else. Yeah. They're a good football operation, and they've got stability at quarterback now, and they've improved the offensive line along the way. And that quarterback, kind of like Cleveland, when you find, you know, a little upgrade at quarterback, all of a sudden people start becoming unlocked a little bit. So, no, I'm not shocked, and they're the team to beat. And we'll see if Lamar Jackson can beat them in a couple weeks on a Saturday afternoon in Baltimore. Because if he can't, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win that division.
Jason, as always, thank you. I got to ask you one really silly question. Ready? So Hellman's is one of your sponsors as an Odyssey Sports Insider. When you do shows on the other side of the rock, on the other side of the Mississippi, did they say Best Foods? Did you know that? That, like, Hellman's and Best Foods are the same. It's just they're the same company.
I never knew that.
No, it's so.
I don't even know what Best Foods is.
So
I
it's just, the same.
I do know Hellman's, though, and yeah. Hellman's mayo is delicious.
Yeah. Well, so what's interesting is like when I lived out west, you would all of a sudden I'm watching TV and I'm like, bring out your Best Foods and bring out your best. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's bring out your Hellman's and bring out your best. Yeah, yeah. It's a marketing thing. On the other side of the country, so don't be shocked if you're doing a show on somewhere
well,
in the Rockies.
I don't need my couch anymore, so yeah.
Well, there you go.
Like, I thought you meant like if I'm in a store or something like that. Oh, yeah, yeah, if I'm on the radio. Yeah, yeah. I'll be aware.
There you go. So I got you prepared
for that.
Jason, as always, you know we love talking to you. Thank you. Okay. Take care.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. And Quinn, that was Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, The Huddle.
You're Kevin Stefanski, and you've got representation, and they look at the field of guys out there, and they say there's going to be 8 or 9 of these openings again. And I can't come up with 5 or 6 qualified guys. And if they're going to make you try to prop up their fraud of a quarterback again next year, you know what I mean? Like, if that's what this is, if they're going to turn a blind eye to what you've done when you've had even the what's left of former starting quarterbacks and what the offense can look like. And now we've seen it under 2 different play callers, I guess 3 if you want to count Stefanski doing it for a while this year and then not.
Was Odyssey Insider Jason LaCanfora, you know, worked for CBS for a long time, was on the pregame show on CBS as well, works for the Washington Post right now. And, you know, to talk to him today was based on something that he had wrote late last week in the Washington Post, talking about Mike Vrabel and what Mike Vrabel's future would be. And he came back, and this is what he wrote in the Post. He's incredibly well-positioned now, and he's working as a consultant with the Browns, who probably would pursue him if Kevin Stefanski is let go. And then he also put in the story, in parentheses right after that, some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think he would be cool getting out of that cesspool now, being home for the holidays and getting to prepare for future interviews elsewhere. So, you know, Jason came on, and he was extremely critical of what's going on in Berea. And again, this was all about the information that he was maybe getting that Kevin was ready to roll, right?
Yeah.
Look, if the Browns are going to let him go, that maybe perhaps Kevin would rather be let go right now. I'm looking at this whole thing with Kevin, and you see, despite the fact they lost last night, that, you know, Kevin's been able to take Jameis Winston, and, you know, whether you want to give Dorsey credit too, to take Jameis Winston, to take Joe Flacco, to have these guys be able to throw for 300-yard games and then wonder, well, okay, with Deshaun Watson. I'm at the point now where it's just like, okay, let's just throw up our arms. It didn't work. Got to move forward, and they got to figure out what they're going to do at the quarterback position, because Deshaun just didn't work. That's all there is to it. There's nothing – like, I kind of feel like Jason was being extremely personal about what's going on with the Haslams. I go back to the beginning. I'm not saying that I like it, but I understood what – was going on at the time when they decided that they wanted to go after, you know, after Deshaun and to try to bring him in. I mean, you can't lie. You can't look at the stats that he didn't have before he got here, but you knew there were going to be issues when he came here based on everything that was going on in Houston. And you knew he was going to have to sit when he got here. So, I mean, they rolled the dice on this thing, and they were hoping for a big payout, and they didn't. That's all there is to it. And so I think all of us, whether you're in Berea or whether you're here, you just kind of have to throw up your arms and say, okay, let's go forward and let's try to figure this thing out. And when you get a night where a guy can throw, you know, for almost 500 yards, I do think it's kind of exciting. And I think it's interesting. But by the same token, he threw three interceptions. So how do you fix that? How do you change that? Because we all know what you're going to get. I mean, there just is no surprise. There's no surprise with Jameis Winston. There isn't. He gave us an exciting ride. Everyone that we've ever talked to about Jameis Winston said, man, he can light it up. But there's also this thing over here, and it's the interceptions. And last night it was 14 points, and it was the difference in the game.
Yeah, I mean, circling back, the Stefanski point, like, is he happy with the move? I would imagine not. I would imagine the entire Browns organization not happy with how the move has panned out up to this point. But when you come to a head coach, like, when you have a job and it sounds like your job's going to be sticking around, I don't see many guys wanting to jump ship from that, right? Like, you only get so much of an opportunity to be a coach. Your job is constantly on the line. It could be gone at any second. I think when you have a job and you have job security, guys latch onto that. Everything that we've heard has been in the opposite direction, right? Like, Kevin Stefanski, the Haslams are looking to bring him back. Kevin Stefanski looks like he's going to be here for some time with Barry. That's been the reports that we've all gotten, and Jason's sort of going the other way. But yeah, when you look at what Jameis has done now, I think it's just sort of move on. You've seen what Kevin can do with other guys, and trying to assess whether or not Jameis is sort of the guy at this point. And I don't know that yesterday brought us any closer to that decision.
Jim is in Strongsville. Hey, Jim, how are you? Browns Therapy Tuesday. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, Jameis told you how to fix the interceptions. It's all in the hand of God. Just got to pray against pick sixes.
Just pick sixes, though, not the interception problem. Remember that.
Yeah, you know, you can't have it all.
Yeah.
You
know? Beggars can't be choosers. Can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Listen, honestly, like, here's why I probably never have Jason Lockin for again, and let me tell you why. I believe, Andy, you're right. It's personal. I think it goes beyond the Deshaun Watson.
Now, he'll tell you it's not. I've asked him that on the air before. I go, I don't know. I think there was some information that was coming out. And I think this is deeper than the Haslams. I think this is just the whole organization since day one. Like, I mean, because, you know, we had him on prior to the Haslams owning the team, and, I mean, he would just lay into them too. So I do think he's equal opportunity when he lays into franchises, and I think sometimes we kind of put our guard up and go, is he just this way with the Browns?
I don't know that he gets as personal as he does with the Haslams. Look, I know what you're saying. I know Jace. I follow him on, you know, social media. It could be politics. It could be the Flying J stuff. But there's a lot of stuff it could be. All I know is he really doesn't like those two. And I don't think it's necessarily fair, but whatever. Look, I think what you got to get into here, what I didn't like either, is they're not a third-world organization, really. Come on. Has there been anything but professionalism in the 5 years that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have been in place here?
No, I think those two guys have been unbelievably professional. I agree with you, Jim. That's a very fair statement.
I just don't think it was fair. Look, I think we got what we could get from Winston last night. You know, you were in the game because of Winston. You lost the game because of Winston. I think they absolutely need to draft a quarterback this year. And look, here's the thing. Like, everybody says, well, you better get it right. Well, the problem is the NFL's not set up that way anymore. If they don't get it right, guess what? You can draft another one in 2 years. The salary-wise, it doesn't kill you. It's about the only thing that they can do to hedge against Deshaun Watson. So I think you have to go out and do that, and you have to continue to go out and try to bring guys in. I'm okay bringing Stefanski back. And actually, Andrew Berry, some of his picks, now that they got a quarterback that's competent, they actually look really good. So I don't know. Honestly, I'm going to throw my hands up. I just don't want to punt on next year. And I feel like punting on next year would kill me. And for people to say, like, well, but the quarterback class is better next year. Oh, my God, please. We cannot punt for a quarterback that we may or may not get in 2026. Am I wrong or am I right?
No. So what do you want? Like, I want this. I think we all want this thing turned around quick. That's all.
Drew Aller. I'm with you on that. I think the kid, and Stefanski, is perfect for that kid.
I think he
he's
is, too.
Perfect to develop that kid.
I agree.
Whether he comes out or not, I agree. But he's got everything that you want. Look, I think Franklin's, they've destroyed that kid down there. He's split and snaps. I think they've done everything in their power at Penn State to kind of, like, ruin him mentally. I think Stefanski, he is the kind of guy I think Stefanski could win a ton of games with.
All right, Jim, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, let's come back. We'll put a bow on the show again. It's a Browns Therapy Tuesday, your final chance to kind of get it off your chest. We'll let you talk about it next. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092.